are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, let's get into our Purposeful Parenting segment with Sister Lydia Deborah speaking to us about creativity in our young women. Now, creativity is not just for artists, right? Every girl has something unique inside just waiting to be expressed. So whether that's painting or coding, or journaling, gardening, hobbies help girls to discover who they are and what brings them joy. So today we want to talk about how creativity can build confidence, purpose, and even bring her closer to God. And so we're just trying to connect with Sister Lydia for this conversation. But as we're waiting for her, let me know how you express your own creativity. The number is +27734703520. I believe we have her on the line now. Sister Lydia, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning. Thank you. How are you, my sister?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for joining us. Are you doing all right?
I'm doing well. I am happy to be here after a while.
It's been a while, right? It's been quite a while. Thank you so much for making time. And it's an interesting subject that we're talking about. I was saying earlier that we focus so much on things like, you know, discipline and, you know, the more serious, quote unquote, more serious aspect of raising our children. But sometimes we neglect the things, the playful things and things like creativity. So I'm looking forward to this conversation. Why do you think it's important for girls to explore and develop their creative interests?
I think it helps them balance life. You know, like you said, it's more of the fun side. There's a way a girl child has to be serious about everything, but we also forget that they have to balance. They also have to realize what their creative interests are. Like, what do they do in their free time? What takes their mind off? And, you know, in the sector we're living in, girls need to have something that makes them happy. You know, even on their sad day, they've got something they're looking forward to. And I think it helps them understand who they are. And it gives them an advantage everywhere else. Imagine, you know, I'm skilled at this, but I have interest in this and I do it well. So despite what my workforce is, because of my interest and because of the skill I have, it gives me a bigger advantage compared to anybody else. Hence, I feel it's very important that we allow the girl children to develop what their creative interests would be.
Yeah. That's beautiful. And what kind of hobbies are we talking about here? What kind of hobbies would boost a girl's confidence and her emotional well-being, time well spent, and all of that good stuff?
Okay, we've got interest. Like, you know, there are people that are very, very good when it comes to laptops. There are children that will shock you and give them a laptop and they'll do something you've never seen in them. Oh, you can do this. Yeah, you know, there are people that know these computers, even well than adults, because they have time, because they sit on them. And then there are also those that can draw. Recently, I realized drawing is something we have underestimated. When my little cousin was taken for therapy and she was told to draw out her interest, to draw out what she felt. Okay. And when she came back home, she was saying, I felt so much better. I felt like the weight felt so much better. And this was at a hospital setup where she went for therapy and she was told to draw. And I'm like, oh.
Really?
So it's like this, yeah. And she drew and she said, I really enjoyed the art therapy. It really calmed me down and it was good. So, you know, we might think that these hobbies are just simple things, but they will help us eventually and they will help us strike a balance, even emotional-wise.
Yeah, I believe that. My daughter is into art as well. She likes to draw. One likes to draw, the other one likes music. And they really get lost in that world. And what you're saying about the laptops, I just remember a few days ago, I was trying to get rid of my son. He was pestering me about something. And I think he was busy. He wanted to do something on my phone or something. I can't remember. And he wanted to play some game. And I'm just trying to get rid of him because I'm busy with something. I'm like, no, I don't have that game. And my son is 4 years old. He goes, yeah, but you can just download it. Just go to the app store and download it. I said, I was not expecting that. I thought it would
it's
end
the
there.
Way they have the knowledge.
Yes. I just thought if I just tell him I don't have the game, he'll go away. He's like, no, just go to the app store and download it. I'm like, okay. So what support can parents and mentors offer to help girls to discover and to pursue their creative side? How do we, what part do we play as parents?
Okay, I think as parents, we really need to encourage them to keep trying these different things, that they should not shun away. You know, I'm always telling my little sister to join a club so that she can just develop, you know, apart from school, apart from, let them try different things so that they understand who they are. I think the biggest thing that's killing the children of nowadays, they don't know who they are. And so they're going with whatever comes. If my friend is doing this, I'm going to do it. But who are you and what do you love? So I think our role as parents, let's encourage them to try these different skills. And we have to caution them because, you know, trying these different skills might also mean trying alcohol. So it means with caution. Yes, like we caution them, try this, try this. And at every time I ask them, how did you feel about it? Did you like it? And it helps them boost their confidence because already I will know I am not good at this. Personally, I'm not good at drawing. So even if you told me to draw, I won't even bother because I'm so confident that I know I can't do this. So them trying these different skills help them realize who they are. Like you talked about your little daughter, you know, she likes music. So if you keep encouraging her, join the children's choir church. The next thing you realize, most of the powerful musicians we have now, when we hear their stories, they started when they were very young. Very young. And it's something that culminates and grows. You know, if we are not playing the part as parents, the devil also has a part to play. And if we're not careful, he might draw them away from us. So we really need to be there and encourage them. Not, today I'm trying this, why? You know? But if you're, but if you're there to, like, push them, how did it go? How did you feel about it? Like, being that support system that they can look to and they will be confident about it. Yeah.
I like that. It requires intentionality on your part as the parent, right? Because some of these things, like what you're suggesting, that means I have to be involved as a parent. If my child joins the church choir, I'm the one who has to drive her there. I'm the one who has to pick her up. If she joins an art club, I'm the one who must take her there. I'm the one who has to pay for.
Look at the art. What are you doing?
Exactly. Be interested. Be curious about their interests as well. I think one place where maybe a lot of people struggle is wanting to impose our own likes onto our children. I like this thing and I didn't really get the opportunity as a child. I'm going to make sure that you do it. Even if you have no interest, but maybe I was really good. Yeah, I was good at this thing, but I didn't have the opportunities that are now available to you. So I'm going to make sure that you go into it. How do we balance that as well? As a parent who can see, maybe I can see that my child is gifted in this thing that she doesn't seem to be interested in, but she is actually gifted in it. Do I continue to push and say, no, just try, just keep doing it. Don't worry, it's going to become fun later on. Or do I just play it by ear and let them go their own way as long as it's guided and it's not against, you know, our principles?
I think you could balance both, my sister. I think you would try because you've identified and there are some things that children may not identify. You would try maybe to encourage them, and if it fails, let them go the route they think it is, but it's very much guided, and you might never know. In that route, maybe they might find what you identified and they're coming back to tell you, I think you are right. So sometimes it's like the prodigal son story. He wants to go, let him go. And then eventually he might realize that, this was not the way. After you do your part intentionally, because again, as parents, we tend to be so busy, you know, and we're forgetting that we have this responsibility of a child placed in our hands. So we really have to do our part to be there. At least we lose out.
It has to go beyond just paying the school fees and providing shelter and food. It has to go beyond all of that,
We have to know who our children are. You know, you're staying with someone and you don't know they can even do something. Oh, you can do this.
Imagine.
And this is someone you are raising.
That reminds me, when I was in high school, my little sister was in primary school. We were at the same school, a boarding school, but we didn't live together because I was in high school, she was in primary school. And so I used to pay one of my friends every now and then, I can't remember how often it was, to braid my hair. So she would braid my hair every now and then, and I'd be giving her the money. And then I think one time I was really broke, and someone asked me, why don't you just go to your sister? Really, why do you go to this one? My sister? Like, yeah, your sister does a lot of people's hair. My sister, like, yes, that one in grade 7, that one. She does hair.
Oh my.
Little did I know that my classmates and people from the high school were heading over to the primary school hostel every now and then to get their hair done by my sister for free. I was like, this is what kind of
after the money you spend, don't mind.
Imagine. Anyway. But that's why it's important to know the gifts that people have.
Especially important.
The people that you're living with, what interests they have, what their talents are, what their hobbies are. Very, very interesting.
Very important.
In this world, 2025, one thing that we're always fighting with our kids about is screen time. So how can girls balance screen time with activities that build creativity and build personal growth, especially when some of those hobbies require them to be, you know, to be in front of a screen? Like I was talking to you about my daughter who likes art. A lot of the stuff that she does, she has so many things that she likes doing that's online. But then it's like, is this actually good for you? Why can't you just do it on a piece of paper? How do we balance that? I mean, I don't want her to miss out on other things that she might learn online, but at the same time, I don't want her spending a whole day on a and sitting in front of a screen.
Yeah, it's I don't know if you'd say it's unfortunate or it's a good thing. You know, times passed. You know, children never again used to have phones. No, they would never have access to phones. But it's 2025, and we're living in a globe where even a three-year-old can press your phone and take it to YouTube and press whatever they want. And that's the globe we're living in. But I think because this is already here, so you can't again grab it away from them and say, but I think the best way is to balance it. You know, what are they doing on the screen at that particular time? If it is something productive, let's apportion time. Let's say, okay, from this time, because again, if not careful, our creative skills might take away the time we're supposed to use to study, because these are young girls that are in school. So I think let's apportion time. Is it the weekend that they are doing this art thing? Is it the weekend? Yeah, because our phones are also important to help us develop these art skills. You know, I'm not a very good cook, by the way, but when you find me sitting on my phone, you think I'm doing something productive, but I'm just watching cooking videos. It's from this video to that video. And if you're watching me at a distance, you'd really think I'm doing something very serious. But that has helped me, actually. Most of the things I cook now, I learned them through that, actually. So I think if we're able to balance, we should allow our children to learn to balance, you know, where they've got time to study and they've got time for, you know, sometimes you even ask, how long did you study? Okay, I studied for this time. Okay, you can now look at your art. You can now listen to your music. You can now use the screen, but let them balance. You know, again, if not careful, the screens actually make us dull because you're always watching. You're not training your mind to learn things from a piece of paper. You're not learning. There's a way it is. You're becoming relaxed. You're just watching it. And,
it's true.
So we really need to have the balance. And in the age you're living in, you might not be careful. The whole day someone might be on the screen. Even adults are struggling with the gadget.
It's true. Hello, are you still there?
Oh, good. And if it may also mean that maybe they just have the time to do this on the weekends, then even better, so that they're able to balance. Remember, they also have to rest. The people are pushing everything. Okay, when you're done studying, start looking at start listening to this. But I think if we're also intentional, we say, okay, maybe on the weekends, maybe this time after you're studying now, during your free time, the time you need to free your mind, you can do it. But let's also control the exposure. We have so many people wearing spectacles today because it started as young, you know, or they were very young. They were always on their TV, they're always on their tablets. And now we have the specs problem. Everyone is wearing specs. But if we could be intentional, if we could teach them and talk to them in a loving manner, again, not to grab it away from them. This thing also will bring problems in this house. You know how we speak to children. But if we're able to balance intentionally and make them understand, in as much as this is important, even your school is important, even your Christian life is important, have time to study the word of God.
I
think allowing them to balance everything.
I think it ties into what you were saying earlier on about being intentional and being present, being curious and interested in what they're doing. Because I find that a lot of times the reason they're so glued to those gadgets is because they're lonely, and no one in the house is interested in what they're doing. The only interest that they find is that online community. And so if you as the parent would be interested enough to say, okay, wait, show me how you do this. How do you do that? Okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. I think if there's a human being interacting with them in person, that would make them, that would then the device is less, I don't care about the device as much as I care about having that time with my mother, with my father, with my brother and sister. If they were interested in what I'm doing, I don't even care about what's happening on the internet. So I think we also have to blame ourselves for that sometimes, that the child has no one else to share this interest with except other like-minded people online.
Yes,
you make yourself. And what you're saying about the cooking, I found myself, because I don't know about cook, but I every now and then I like to try and learn a new recipe. But I remember, because of the internet, I found myself very dependent on the recipe that I have learned. Like I was not as creative as I used to be. Long time ago, I was very creative, just wing it. Maybe my mother taught me how to make this thing, and then I'm going to try and add this. What if I add that? And what if I remove this and put more of that? I was very creative. But when the internet came into my life, I just stick to what they said on YouTube. They said 2 teaspoons of this. I'm not moving from there. And also, I need to, every time I make this dish, I have to go back to that same recipe. What did they say again? I realized,
what did they do? Yeah,
I've been making this thing every week for the past 2 months, and I still can't make it without referring back to the recipe. Come on, by now I should know how to make this. So you're right. These devices make us dull. We become so dependent on them.
So dependent,
So for sure, I think it would be a good idea to ask, have your child, encourage your child to try and do some things, you know, from their own mind. You don't have to always copy what someone else is doing, as much as you might learn, get some ideas and all of that, but also try and create something from your own mind. That's beautiful. Now, what are some fun faith-based hobbies that girls might enjoy exploring?
I think one of the faith-based hobbies would be hikes. You know, I feel like hikes are really refreshing for girl children, especially the young ones. If you're going for hikes, you reach, you sit. There's a way they do it at my church where when after every mountain you're sitting, you engage in prayer, you engage in nature, you realize this mighty creator that you have.
Yeah.
And in the moment, it's not about the screen. It's just about nature and you connecting with your God. I think hikes are very important, and they really build our faith, because you tend to look at things in a different way. You're looking at this mountain and you're wondering, man, there's no way man would have built this. Mm-mm. There is really no way. Even when scientists try to tell us there's no God, then they're looking at it. Someone said putting the stones, how did they bring them together like this? Yeah. And it really draws our mind to how powerful this creator is. Mm-hmm. And you're also interacting and mingling with others. Everyone is sharing their story. And I think in such interactions, in case your home is not very faith-built, it makes you realize that there's so much you guys are not doing at home, because you're going to listen, you're going to hear it from your friend saying, oh, every evening we meet, we pray. And I think when you get home, you should be asking, Mom, my friend said we do this. How come we never do it? And already you're challenging the family to take up something new. Also, I think Bible picnics. I recently attended a Bible picnic, and I felt like this is something we should have been doing more often, because you're meeting specifically for that. And it strengthens you, because everyone is giving their testimony. You know, before the Bible picnic starts, everyone was given a platform to just give their testimony of how they've seen God come through. And just in case you were about to give up, those testimonies have ignited the little faith that you had left.
Yeah.
The little one that remained standing. And I feel it's quite important that we allow our girl children to go out for these hobbies that boost their faith. Is it a nature walk? I think even the church has to be intentional about these things, you know, in as much as there are these clubs, but let them also be intentional about things that build our faith. We're living in a time where sometimes even Bible study is not a mandate. And you find the whole afternoon the children are just running around and do not learn anything. But it needs to be as intentional as it can. And also us, as have a role in our homes, let them also find reading the Bible as a hobby while they are young.
Yeah.
Because they won't understand it. But let them look at it as a hobby. What story did you read today? Mm-hmm. Okay, today we're reading the story of David. Today, like, it's already at the back of their mind that they are reading this. And give them an opportunity to present during the family devotion as young as they are. Today are going to tell us a story. Tell us. And you'll see how interested they'll be to learn each and every new story in the Bible. And it starts there. It really is going to boost their faith.
Interesting. I like that. There's one idea that I got from one of my kids when she had the opportunity to take like this family devotion. Instead of just giving us a devotion and whatever, she decided to turn it into a quiz. And that was very interesting. I never thought about that. And that's what happens, I think, when you allow children their creativity, especially in terms of how they express their faith. I think that you find very interesting ideas how kids want to learn. They don't just want to sit down and be told the story. That has its place. It has its benefits. But every now and then you get new ideas like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Just make it a quiz. Let's talk about, maybe last week we were talking about the story of David, like you say. Okay, so let's have a quiz about that and see what everybody still remembers. Let's divide the family if there are enough members, this team versus that team. And let's, you know, it's very interesting. And just those kind of Bible games, you can find different ways of engaging our kids and engaging the entire family. And I think another thing that you mentioned was, you know, the atmosphere at home. Is it conducive for for those kinds of hobbies? Beyond that, I think it's also important for children to see their parents also having hobbies.
Yeah.
If all they know about you is that you are always on the phone or you are always doing your work, you're always at work, there's no fun, you have no time for fun, you have no time to laugh or to play. Your fun is to sit down at the end of the day and watch TV. That's the only fun that you know. Then you're really setting a bad precedent for the children. They let them see you also playing a game. Let them see you coloring or playing. Being childish in some way, you know, being childlike, having fun with them or on your own. But let them see that in you as well. So that, because I was saying earlier that it's like when we grow up, we forget how to have fun. I was asking the listeners, when was the last time you sprinted? When was the last time you tickled someone or you were tickled or, you know, those childish things that we used to do, just jumping.
Yeah.
We forget those things when we grow up. And I think when children look at us, they're just like, "Hey, no, thank you. I'm not coming there."
It's serious throughout.
Yeah.
It's serious.
Yeah. So how would you wrap up this conversation? Any final words that you'd like to say about the importance of creativity for our young girls?
I think overall, it's very important that our young girls learn to be creative. I think one thing I've come to realize, as young girls start menses, you know, they have the moody aspect.
Yeah.
So I think these creative interests might help them balance those moods. They might help them also realize who they are at the end of the day. And also, their faith will grow through hobbies that also encourage their faith.
Yes.
Let them learn to balance everything in as much as they're growing, in as much as they're studying for school. Let's not forget God in their lives. I think one of the things that have shaped us today, you know, even when we go forward here and there, is the fact that we've grown in faith.
Mm-hmm.
We've grown knowing that there's God somewhere. Even when things look hard, we still remember to get on our knees because someone out there reminded us that God should be in the circle. And I think even as we raise girl children, even as we are their leaders, as we are their parents, let them not forget God in whatever they do.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Sister Lydia Debra, thank you so much for your time. Always a pleasure speaking to you.
Amen. Thank you. I'm always happy to come.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.